is Free Talk Live. Welcome to another live Saturday episode of the program. As always, you are invited to join us here. You can take control of the airwaves if you want. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Joining you here in the studio tonight, it's Ian.
Beakless Mountaineer.
And the captain.
All right. You can, of course, bring up anything that you want. It is the day that shall live in infamy.
Oh, man. So a couple of times already.
20 years
later. A couple of times already, people have said this to me. And, I, you know, they don't mean it this way, but they go, hey, happy 9/11.
Really?
And I go, happy? Happy 9/11?
Really?
Yeah, aren't
and
you?
And they're like, where are you? And I'm like, okay.
Wait, you're not happy for all the freedoms that have been preserved over the last 20 years?
Preserved is the opposite of what has happened.
Well, I mean, we only have two parties, and they're the conservatives, which conserve our liberties, and the progressives, which progress into greater liberty.
Yes, we're so much more free now than we were 20 years ago, right? I mean, everyone agrees with
that. I detect a hint of sarcasm in your voice, sir.
Just a
smidge. I would never do such a thing to you.
But your mama and your daddy, wait, what? No, sorry.
Yeah, well, at least, you know, 20 years later, the so-called war in Afghanistan is finally over. So there is at least that that we can say is...
There is an old saying, it's called give the devil its due. And I actually know where this comes from.
Why would you give the devil stew? Give the devil its stew?
No, stew's awesome. He's great. I would never give him to the devil. But I actually know why Biden ended that war.
To start one here in the United States against the people?
No, that was going to happen anyway.
Okay.
No, this actually happened. He mentioned this in one of his speeches. Someone made him read a book that explained how he was responsible for the death of his good son.
Ooh, I've heard this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Bo Biden. Bo Biden died in the war in Afghanistan as a direct result of the decisions made by President Biden.
And so someone
then
made
Vice
him...
Vice President Biden.
Mm-hmm. Someone made him read this book, and
well,
he said this?
Well, made is probably not the right term. But no, he
encouraged
actually...
him?
Yes, brought it to his attention, and he, in a speech, said that he had read this book.
I have read this book.
And this was before he agreed with Trump to move out the troops, or while he was making the statement?
And that is one of the worst possible things, is that as much as I despise Trump, and I do...
I despise Trump.
It seems to me that this was one of the options that he made available, is that we could get out of Afghanistan.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Biden took that and decided to make it his own so that he can have a 9/11 photo op of getting out of Afghanistan, which was not in anyone's best interest. But
is that the one where he was on the ship? And, like, declared the war over.
You're talking about Bush.
Oh, that's Bush. Sorry.
That was Bush.
Mission accomplished.
Mission accomplished. That's what I'm thinking of.
Yeah, mission accomplished. Yeah. Well, even in getting us out of a war, he's still being selfish.
Well, I mean, he's a politician, of course.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. They're not good.
No.
I can barely agree with the idea that they're people. And they're definitely not good people.
I can't think of anything that a politician has ever done that might be considered, you know, good.
Mm.
I mean, they say a lot of stuff, and they say that I'm going to do this for this intention, which sounds good to a lot of people.
They say lots of good things. They say lots of things that are people.
But then when they deliver the thing, it's never quite, you know, what...
Human?
It's never quite what they alluded... It would be.
It's never quite what they promised.
Or if it is, it includes a whole bunch of other crap that doesn't need to be included with it in the first place.
Caveats and provisos. Caveats and provisos that no human being would ever include in those desires.
I think the old school
like
term
the
is
human
pork.
Desire to get us out of war. Get us out of, not just this war, not just that war.
Yeah.
All the wars.
Of course, you guys mentioned on the show last night, Captain, that Guantanamo Bay, still open.
Still open.
Mm. Yeah. So, I mean, it's not like they have
still
stopped.
Still got prisoners, still torturing.
Right. Violating the rights of people internationally.
I believe it was Biden's president, my boss. Do you remember that? Do you know that
president
clip?
My boss?
President. Oh, you haven't seen this.
No.
President my boss.
This is something Biden said?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, because he is literally a puppet.
Yeah.
And not just a puppet, but a broken puppet.
Well, and a senile old bastard as well, who likes sniffing kids, by the way.
Yeah. Well, you know, dementia's a mofo. So President my boss said, I will shut down Guantanamo Bay.
I think the last three presidents have said that, including this one.
Mm. Ain't that something? Every American wants to shut down Guantanamo Bay.
I don't know. There's probably some psycho Americans out there that are all about torturing.
There's probably
people.
A couple of
they probably work there.
Probably a couple of military employees who work there. That yeah.
I'm sorry, but on occasion I can get people to back up my no true Scotsman argument, and it is a no true Scotsman argument that it's just un-American to be like, hey, we have these things that we have technically identified as America, and then we make these places that are outside those borders. And Guantanamo Bay is the most powerful thing that is outside of what we've decided America should be.
Not gonna go away. It's Guantanamo Bay.
Well, it seems like America decided that it should be something else. I mean, if you look at what happened on 2001, where the Patriot Act came into play relatively immediately.
Are you suggesting we shouldn't rent property from the communists?
Are they paying rent on that property?
Yes, they are literally paying rent on that. They are literally paying rent to communists on that property.
Wow.
So that it's not U.S. property,
and
they don't have to conduct
themselves.
That's
the legal workaround.
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah. Awful.
No, but what I am saying is that people, stood aside. They did what they were told. They watched as the Department of Homeland Security was later layered into place. The TSA was brought about and invaded so many people's privacy, getting worse, as time goes on. And
layered into place is exactly right.
And then, come around 2020, the whole COVID scare was used as another tool to ratchet up the police state to a level that I think surpassed the ratcheting up 2001. Like, it was hard to believe that they could have surpassed it, but they did, and they did it fast.
Well, and
we never expected that they could be less human than that.
Well, we kind of knew that they were going to, because that's just the nature of the organization we call the state. Governments want is the wrong word. It's the only word I can think of. But governments want to grow. They want to get bigger.
Yes.
They want more control. It's the nature of the organization.
Governments are a cancer.
They are. They're a tick.
They always have been. They always will be.
They've never got enough. They've never got enough. They always are after more. They're always looking for a new way to get more. And so we just didn't know how it was going to come. I did not suspect before the COVID thing kicked in that it was going to be a medical pathway
to authoritarianism,
further authoritarianism, further tyranny.
It was
they would metastasize. We did not know that the pathogen of their metastasization would be the bioterrorism state.
But the reason I brought it up, the reason I was saying it, was because you were talking about what America is or what America should be, and it seems like a large portion of quote-unquote America is embracing this medical authoritarianism, that they embrace the police state, and they want this.
And now we know how the Nazis came to power, right? Because the Nazis didn't take, had support from their population.
Of course they did.
And of course people go, I would have never gone along. And yet here we are in America, the quote, land of the free, unquote.
Most people did go along to get along. Now, maybe some people are starting to change their minds now.
Peterson warned us, you were always going to go along with this.
Who's Peterson?
Jordan Peterson warned you that you would not have resisted the Nazis if you had been in Germany in 1945.
The number here is 603-283-6160. I think some of us would have. 603-283-6160. You can join us here on 9/11 live show. It's Free Talk Live. Talk Live number here if you want to join us. 603-283-6160. It is the live Saturday edition of the show. Also happens to be the 9/11 edition of Free Talk Live, which we've been having 9/11 anniversary episodes since basically the very beginning of this program. We started in November of 2002, so we missed it on the first year, but every year since, we've been on the air. This show has now been around for roughly 19 years, and tyranny's just getting worse out there. That's kind of the subject that we've been discussing here tonight. Peakless Mountaineer just
mentioned... Point of order.
Yes.
It's not getting worse, it's just getting obvious.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's definitely getting more in your face, but they've cranked it up. I mean, I would say it's definitely worse. I mean, you've got people with vaccine passports now in places like New York City. You've got Los Angeles. You've got New Orleans, if it even still exists anymore. These other cities now, actually, I think two cities in Hawaii have announced vaccine passports. It's only a matter of time before some state decides to implement this stuff. I mean, this is... Yes, of course, they had... They had passports before this. You guys discussed this on last night's show at freetalklive.com. You can download that. You talked about the history of the passport going into effect in World War II. It's like a temporary measure, and now it's permanent. Of course, driver's licenses are another method of control. So this is similar. The vaccine passport is a similar, it's a government ID card.
It's definitely getting worse by a large margin. I say this because in 1987, as a 16-year-old runaway with no ID at all, no papers of any kind, I was able to walk into like a food court in a mall and get hired at some random like little sandwich shop.
Without some crazy ass background check.
You got hired without a social security number?
I filled out a form and I put some information down. I just guessed, right? I'm like, I don't know, I'm putting some information down. And they hired me and they were like, hey, do you have ID? I'm like, I left it at home. They're like, okay, well, make sure you bring it in.
And you never did.
And I just never did. And I was a good employee. They gave me checks. Right. I cashed them.
No one ever called
you on it. It was not a big deal. Now, if I want to get hired, not only do I have to pass a background check, an NCIC, depending on the level of, if I work in IT or whatever.
They'll check your immigration status, too.
They're going to check my immigration status. They're going to check my passport status. Then I'm going to have to get a jab of some... thing that they're calling
it
a vaccine.
It sounds to me like what you're saying is that the level of enforcement is the thing that changes.
Well, the level of enforcement and also the level of requirements.
The level of compliance.
That's
true. Because they're forcing these businesses now to be the enforcers. They're not enforcing it themselves. What they're doing is they're mandating that businesses do these things.
And one thing leads to the next, of course, and government programs don't go away. Another I keep referencing last night's show, but that's because I was just listening to it again right before the show. You guys talked about OSHA and how the Biden is now using OSHA as his leverage, if you will, to say
big surprise.
OSHA is going to enforce this new mandate on employers of over 100 employees, saying that they have to have vaccinated employees. And the point being that OSHA was put into place decades ago. And of course, at the time, the idea was, "Hey, it's all about safety. Yeah. Who's against safety in the workplace?
What is it? It's the organization.
Well, that's the whole trick.
Occupational Safety Hazard Association, or something, I believe.
That's the whole trick is that they put something in place to keep you safe. But here's the thing: so the one thing we can do is just stop listening. We can just stop complying.
Yes,
we can just refuse. And look, you and I are libertarians. And we find it natural to say, no, I won't do that. But there are plenty of people out there who, here's what you need to do. Hey, guess what? The two government gangs are against each other, and they are really, really against each other right now. So if you're a Republican government gang dude, just stop complying, because they have announced that they're going to file a lawsuit. They're going to file a lawsuit and say, no, this isn't constitutional. So
I mean,
just
whoopee-doo. Yeah. What's that going
to
do?
You know, it's an excuse to stop doing what the government tells you.
I think that's just they're playing the game, right? Like,
theater to make you think that's it. Like, if you had an inkling of rebellion and then you saw that, you might be like, oh, they're doing something about it. And then you stop worrying about it.
Yeah, we'll just wait and see what the courts say.
Do you know what rebellion is today? Rebellion today is
hardly a speck
breathe
of dust on
air,
the
eat food, drink water,
talk to your neighbor.
oh my goodness, yep. they might have a face. Yep. They might be face criminals.
Grow a garden.
You know, you mentioned the noncompliance. It's interesting. I was surprised that there was actually a Newsweek story. I couldn't believe that this got written. A sign of the times, I guess, to some extent, that headline, libertarians call for mass noncompliance with Joe Biden's vaccine mandate. I'm like, how the hell did the libertarians...
That's a fantastic headline.
...get a news story in Newsweek.com of all places. But Peakless Mountaineer, you mentioned during the break, and I said we've got to talk about this because it was actually something I wanted to put in my show prep today as well, and that is that guess who's exempt from the federal mandate. Remember, Biden said all federal employees have to get
federal employees.
The vaccine.
All 80 million federal employees and employees
except
of 100 plus employees in a corporate situation, except
who?
Their staff and all of Congress. Guess who doesn't have to get jabbed?
So-called
representatives.
Why the discrepancy there?
Wait, now didn't we see politicians go on like television and get some sort of needle injected into their arm?
They did. Some of them did. They made a very big deal about getting a thing injected.
It's a production.
The last part of the mask has now fallen. Now the upside of this is this: if you don't think this is a conspiracy, I can't help you. If you can't see this for what it is, if you can't see that they are creating a class system that excludes you, then I can't help you, because this is the last chance. This is our last opportunity to see what is going on and go,
no,
obviously not.
Yeah, not participating.
Yeah, if anybody wants my advice on what to do, Ian, you just said it. No.
Yeah.
Just start saying no.
It's just that.
Get some practice in.
What if you lose your job?
Get some practice.
But you might lose your job, Captain.
You might.
Well, you know.
But a job is important, isn't it?
Of course it is.
You know, doing things that are of value to people is important. That's true.
But what you might find if you do lose your job is that you may find an employer that has a similar mindset as you, mm-hmm. doesn't mind hiring you and your skill set if you've worked hard to achieve such a thing.
I hate saying it, but what is called the black market is the only good thing we have left.
Well, it's not all black market. I have seen employers saying...
It's not
saying,
the black market.
I've seen
it
employers saying, we will
market.
Hire and we do not test.
Right.
So there are people like that out there. Library, for instance. Odyssey.
I have seen that called the black market. It's not the black market. The black market is something different.
The black market is doing illegal business without right. you know, government yeah. permission. And I support those people as long as they're peaceful.
Hey, black market good. And gray market are the yeah. only ones that make any sense to me. But like, look, we've got to help each other. We've got to perform good service for each other, and we've got to do it honestly. And doing it honestly means outside the corporation and outside the government and with faces.
I don't know about you, but for me, black markets matter.
603-283-6160.
Black markets matter.
603-283-6160. I love that. I never heard that one before.
I just made it up.
I love it. More coming up here in moments. You can join us. This is Free Talk Live.
When Monster Hunter International discovers one of Isaac Newton's wardstones being auctioned off, they decide to steal it and use it to destroy the Chaos God once and for all. But a mysterious thief upends their plan, and it soon becomes a race against time as something much older and infinitely more evil awakens in the jungles of South America. Monster Hunter Bloodlines by New York Times bestselling author Larry Correa and Bain Books. Visit MonsterHunterNation.com for more.
Hey, it's Free Talk Live. Phones are open here. If you want to join us, take control of the airwaves, you can do that. You can bring up whatever's on your mind, although we are talking about the situation as it stands here in the so-called United States of America, with tyranny continuing to ratchet up and to the applause of many in the country. People seem to really enjoy being told what to do, and they're going to get a lot more of it.
It makes me ill. It really does. I can't tell you just how ill it makes me to see, and we were talking about this a little bit during the break, otherwise intelligent people
mm-hmm.
can't what is the thing that gets them to understand that this is what government is? This is what it does. This is how it operates.
What some intelligent people, that's exactly what they want. They want to figure out new ways to control people. They believe that people cannot take care of themselves, that people need to have a master.
I don't think that's correct. I think people believe that they think they know best for others.
They do. They think that.
Right, right. It's not necessarily that they want to control others. It's just that they think they know best. Well, there are, yes.
But what's the difference? What's the difference between thinking you know best for others and wanting to control them? That's the exact same thing.
Well, exercising the thought is the difference.
I can think I know better than you do and not force you to comply to my thoughts.
Correct. It's, again, exercising the thought. Mm. Right? So, you know,
I might think you're making the wrong decision. And as someone who recognizes your sovereignty and your ability to decide things, I'll talk to you.
Yeah.
And I'll try to convince you otherwise. But if you decide otherwise, I respect your decision,
ultimately,
even though I don't agree with it.
Ultimately, freedom means you're free to make dumb choices.
Yes.
That's what it should be.
Anybody's opinion, right?
Yeah.
I might choose
the freedom to make bad decisions.
I might choose to leave Seattle, Washington, where I spent 22 years and made a bunch of friends and
had
a community that a lot of people that I know, what's his problem? Man, he must just be crazy. Mm-hmm. Or like, I would never, that's a dumb idea. You know, Captain, you shouldn't do that. You know, and to them, they think they know better than I.
Your decision gives me emotional illness.
But ultimately.
And that makes you crazy.
Ultimately, because I am a free person, I make the decisions for me. Mm-hmm. I believe that I know what is best for me. And so I made the decision to come here, and I do not think in any way, shape, or form that it was a dumb decision or a bad decision.
Mm-hmm.
It has totally worked out for me and in my favor in so many ways that I can't even describe it. But that's because I was already of the belief that I'm a free person.
Yeah.
Right? And a lot of these people, they don't believe, like, they think that they're free because they're, free to go to work.
You owe us good decisions by our standards.
Right. And so that's where the conflict lies, is between what a person believes is, you know, good for other people, mm-hmm. and what they actually allow other people to do. It's when they act upon the impulse. That's when they're evil, right? I can tell you many times I've been like, even with people here in the community, I'm like, yeah, that's a dumb idea. You shouldn't do that.
what was he thinking?
And maybe I say something, maybe I don't, right? Because I'm like, live and let live, man.
And
you're not
always wrong with that. Sometimes that is actually a dumb idea, but I'm going to let you do it anyway.
But also sometimes they've gone ahead and done it and it's worked out.
Mm-hmm.
So who the hell am I? You know, I might think that I know better, but I don't actually know better.
Yeah.
I guess that's the difference between.
Yeah, you're right. That's the difference
between. I realize that I don't actually know better, even when I think it.
Yeah. And that is a key difference between a liberty-minded person and everybody else. Because everybody else is living in a set of circumstances and beliefs where they think it's totally fine to impose their beliefs on others. In fact, that's what's been happening to them their whole lives.
Yeah.
So it seems like turnabout is fair play, right? Like, people have been telling them, if it's the left or the right, it doesn't matter. Somebody's always been telling them how to live, what to do, where to go, how much to pay, how to obey, what they have to do. And so you can't blame somebody for wanting to, you know, flip that around on the person who was torturing them previously. Ah, we're in charge now.
Right.
Now you're going to get this. Now we're going to mandate that. And that's the problem that creates this cycle of violence where one side's constantly trying to rule over the other.
And the other thing that you're describing there is exactly what happens in politics between the Democrats and the Republicans, right? It's just they're arguing over the gun, right? If government is the gun
in the room.
The gun in the room, then the Republicans, you know, had control. Now the Democrats have control. And it's just a matter of who gets to point the gun at people to make them do what they want instead of allowing people to be free and do whatever they choose.
Well, it sounds to me like a libertarian thinks they know what you ought to do, and anyone who is not a libertarian knows what you ought to do.
And is willing to back it up with violence. And
so
that's when you get these really brilliant people who put their mindset and their intelligence towards creating new ways to force people to do what they think is best for them. And now we have vaccine mandates. And we got people like this woman, what the hell is her name? Leanna Wen, or something like that.
Yeah, I believe so.
Who is I think she's the former health minister of Baltimore or something like that.
And she's like a PhD or something,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, yeah. Like I said, there's plenty of these doctors that are total politicians. They're total power seekers. Fauci, of course, is the big name, but there's all these little ones as well that would love to be Fauci. Well, and this woman's getting interviewed on television, CNN, and she says Biden didn't go far enough. She wants to see interstate travel restrictions for the unvaccinated.
Well, here's her quote.
Oh, there aren't?
Here's her quote. Society has an obligation to prevent the unvaccinated from leaving their homes.
Hmm.
Yeah, and that's not the only thing she said recently as well. Here's another one. Oh, and from the Defiant L's channel on Twitter, which is really fun because they take old quotes from people and then they compare them, like just from a couple years ago, and then they compare them to what
they
say
today. I saw
one
of those recently where like Biden was saying, I'll never recommend a mandate for vaccines.
Yeah. Oh, that was from December of 2020, and that's changed. This one, same woman, Leanna Wen, MD. Her Twitter is at Dr. Leanna Wen. In 2021, just 2 days ago, she says, "What I wish the new Biden COVID-19 strategy would contain: vaccine requirements for interstate travel, mandates for schools as we do for other immunizations, and a national proof of vaccination system. Cajoling isn't working. It's time for drastic action." Rewind 2 years to July of 2019. Same woman. Quote, "No one should tell you what to do with your body. Planned Parenthood is fighting against these bans on abortion care with everything we have because everyone has the right to make decisions about their own bodies."
I gotta say, I have watched the new arguments for abortion, and I have an unpopular opinion on abortion, especially among conservatives, that I actually think that your first breath matters very much, and that's an argument. I get both sides, but I'll tell you one thing. The people who are arguing for abortion rights today never dare say what used to be their clarion call, "My body, my choice."
Yeah, they don't say that anymore because, of course,
never.
They can't apply it consistently. Just for our listeners' sake, Leanna Wen, this is from Reason.com. Leanna Wen is a visiting professor of health policy and management at George Washington University. She's also a Washington Post columnist. She's also a former president of Planned Parenthood and also a medical analyst for CNN.
They left something out. Leanna Wen is also one of the like young people that is involved with the World Economic Forum. Do you know who the World Economic Forum is?
Oh, the Reset.
The Great Reset.
Oh, God.
She's
the
on their
new
like...
World. Sorry. Yeah. The Great Reset.
Yeah. She's on their list of like... young people who matter or something like that.
Yeah.
So she's totally been anointed by the Great Reset masters. And now, well, look, she's showing up on CNN. She's talking about how Biden didn't go far enough.
Never make a new central bank digital currency. That would never be part of the new world. Sorry. Great Reset.
The number, if you want to join us here, 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160 from WEF or WEforum.org. She's got her own page on the website there talking about who she is and all of her backgrounds. And so she's one of these people whose job it is to pimp out even greater authoritarianism. She's pushing the Overton window, right? Even further than even Joe Biden.
It used to matter what we chose.
The number is 603-283-6160. You can take control of the airwaves and bring up whatever's on your mind.
It's too bad because, like, I kind of have a thing for attractive Asian women.
Asian ladies? Yeah, she's not attractive.
No?
She's a ugly, ugly person.
In soul.
Yep. More on the way. You can join us here. This is Free Talk Live. It is Free Talk Live. You can join us. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. In the studio tonight, it's Ian.
Pickles Mountaineer.
And the Captain.
Of course, you can bring up anything that you want. We've been talking about the medical authoritarian police state that has been created over the last 20 years, really ratcheting up over the last 18 months or so. This Dr. Leanna Wen says it hasn't gone far enough. She wants more restrictions. She wants total lockdowns. She wants...
How are we supposed to make them do what we want them to do if we give them back their, you know, concerts and stuff?
She doesn't recognize that electing to not get a needle stuck in your arm with something, I don't care how approved it is or however many other people have taken it, Like, she doesn't recognize that that's a choice. Solution. She says things
I
like,
I actually trust saline solution. I know what it is. I know what's in it. We have lots of tests about what saline solution does.
She says evil crap. This. The vaccinated should not have to pay the price for the so-called choices of the unvaccinated anymore.
Well, I don't think that anyone should have to pay the price for the choices of anyone else.
Correct.
Exactly. But she's not applying it consistently.
No, of course not. She's not going to say that we should get rid of the state or any taxes or anything like that. We can come back and talk about that here in moments, but to the phones first, to the fun, all the way over to Andorra, where it's... What time is it in Andorra, Stephen?
Oh, it's 2 o'clock wow. in the morning.
Thanks for staying up late with us here, and it's...
It's 2 a.m.
Stephen from Anypay, I believe. Stephen, what's on your mind tonight?
Oh, well, first of all, speaking of the World Economic Forum, you might be interested to know that the inventor of Monero has been a regular attendee of the World Economic Forum.
Really?
The past few years. Ricardo Spagni.
Well, that's disturbing.
Now, wait a minute. He wasn't the inventor of Monero, was he? I thought the inventor of Monero was completely anonymous, and Spagni was just one of the handlers.
Sure, yeah. That's fair. But what I really wanted to talk about was something that listeners, everyone has heard about this. El Salvador has made Bitcoin their official national currency.
One of two, yeah. They've got also the U.S. dollar.
Yeah, so this country, El Salvador, they don't have their own currency. Credit to them, they don't have a central bank or anything like that. So they haven't issued their own currency. They've been using the dollar. But their charismatic president, Nayib Bukele, has decided that they are going to also accept BTC Bitcoin as their
and require
their
it
national currency.
There's some debate, Peakless, as to whether or not it's actually a requirement. The law itself is written as though it is a requirement, but Bukele, the president, has said publicly that it will not be a requirement.
Really?
So I haven't heard any updates on that this week as far as whether or not they've been cracking down or if they've been leaving people alone. Have you heard anything about that, Stephen?
Well, he did say that about 1 week ago. Mm-hmm. However, he announced that everyone would be required to accept Bitcoin several months ago, maybe 3 months ago. And that has caused a serious amount of mayhem in El Salvador. And to give some background, this Nayib Bukele is a very charismatic leader of El Salvador. Mm-hmm. And El Salvador is a nation with one of the youngest per capita age of in the world due to the slaughter of the previous generation of El Salvadorians during a recent civil war. And Nayib
Bukele. Well, that's what you get for tangling with socialism.
Yes. He's come to power and he's famous for having taken over the Salvadorian legislature with armed soldiers full of camouflage. They fanned out across the legislature chambers and stationed themselves behind the deputies of the legislature with snipers on top of the building and everything.
Wow.
And then President Bukele marched in to the occupied chamber and took his seat in the assembly president's chair, declaring, "Now I think it's quite clear who has control of this situation."
Wow.
So he seems to be one of the only Central and South American countries who are adopting capitalism without being a direct extension of the CIA and the drug cartels.
It's very interesting because while El Salvador is recognized as the most corrupt nation in the Western Hemisphere, maybe except for Nicaragua, they are...
Which is exactly what I said with the CIA drug cartels.
Yeah. Yeah, so the IMF is very upset with him adopting Bitcoin, and when he says
they would
Bitcoin,
be, wouldn't they?
BTC. And so I would like to lend some experience. Actually, when this happened, some people reached out to AnyPay, myself and the rest of the team, and they were looking for solutions for businesses in El Salvador to sure. accept Bitcoin because they needed to comply with the law.
Mm-hmm.
And so We ended up speaking with several dozen business leaders, people who represented actually hundreds of businesses in El Salvador, hoping to comply with this new mandate. And the truth is that they believed that it was a law that they were going to be compelled to accept Bitcoin.
That was my impression.
That's the way it's written. That's the way it's written. Now, Bukele has been saying things contrary to what the law says publicly on things like Twitter, and they made a government video. There's like a sort of a puff piece, propaganda piece for accepting Bitcoin that says it is not required. So what they're saying is different than what the law actually says. But I can understand why a corporation is going to be like, you know what, we're just going to follow the law because we don't want to take a chance with some sort of political decision as to whether or not this is going to be enforced one day versus the next day. So that's why companies like McDonald's and Starbucks, big corporations, you can now go and pay with Bitcoin in El Salvador.
An actual ad from El Salvador about McDonald's with the Bitcoin logo on it.
Please continue, Stephen, with what you were saying about AnyPay and having the meetings and such.
Speaking about McDonald's, it was very close to being that AnyPay was going to be the processor for McDonald's.
Wow,
that would have been cool.
They were totally that. All they care about is complying with this dictatorial mandate. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Which is what we have always spoken out against here at Free Talk Live.
Yes, and 0.0% of the people that we spoke to, which was at dozens of business leaders and representing hundreds of businesses, none of them wanted Bitcoin.
Mm.
They all wanted dollars.
Huh.
So here's what I would like your perspective on, because you are more knowledgeable and entrenched in this world than I am. Why has this not crashed harder? So there was a big crash.
When you say crashed, what do you say? What do you mean this?
So suddenly requiring every business in an entire country to take the worst of cryptocurrency. Because as far as small transactions are concerned, Bitcoin is the worst at making small transactions a thing you can take.
Yeah.
I thought this would be so much worse.
Oh, it did crash on day number one.
No, it crashed the day before.
On day number one, they turned off the government's Chivo app, which is the official government Bitcoin app.
Because it didn't work on...
They couldn't handle it.
It didn't work on iPhone, and it didn't work on Huawei.
No, they claimed that they couldn't handle the servers, couldn't handle the demand, or whatever. Who knows what the truth was.
I thought this was going to be way worse than it was.
I'm going to let Stephen... Go ahead.
The truth about this is, and this is what we warned the retailers in El Salvador about, is that the official government wallet of El Salvador is called Chivo, and what they are is a Lightning Network wallet. They're a BTC Lightning Network wallet, and so what we told them, and at the time, before we became ultimately disgusted with the entire system in El Salvador, we were developing a solution to help them use the Lightning Network. However, what we warned people about is once they support the Lightning Network, it's not like Bitcoin. With Bitcoin, anyone who has a Bitcoin wallet can pay anyone else who has a Bitcoin wallet or a Bitcoin Cash wallet, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. Anyone in the world with a Bitcoin wallet can pay each other. However, with a Lightning wallet, it is not the same.
So I just want to double check my math on this. As far as I know, I can own a Bitcoin wallet. I cannot own a Lightning wallet. Is that right?
So you can own a Lightning wallet. However...
It gets very confusing, though. Stephen, do you want to hang on and continue this discussion?
I'll hang on, yeah.
You can. Okay, great. Stand by. More with Stephen Seiler from AnyPay on what's going on in El Salvador with this, what, as Peakless Mountaineer points out, should be a completely nightmarish rollout of Bitcoin acceptance. And it has been a bumpy road, as expected. There's more coming up here. It is Free Talk Live.
This message is for you if you are a polyamorous person or you're in an open relationship and you are struggling with jealousy, loneliness, and communication problems. Hello, my name is Jeremy West, and I am a polyamory coach with degrees in psychology and communications and 5 years of experience with polyamory. And for a limited time, I'm teaching a free online class just for polyamorous people or people in open relationships, where you will discover a new, simpler, and unique way to uncover the secret that experienced poly people know about jealousy that you must know too. Stop feeling lonely when your partner is out with another partner, and use the four key elements that will change the way you communicate forever. No more crying yourself to sleep when you're alone for a night, a weekend, or longer, and wondering if it's better to go back to a monogamous relationship. Sound good? Well then, go to jeremywest.net/free class and register for my class now. Again, that's jeremywest.net/free class, jeremywest.net/free class.
Free Talk Live.
This is Free Talk Live, kicking off the second hour of the program here. The number is 603-283-6160. And you can bring up anything that you want. We were talking about the sort of the state of things today being absolutely terrible with tyranny on the rise, 9/11, 20 years later, etc. Now we're talking about El Salvador's Bitcoin mandate? Question mark?
We were not talking, the nightmare I thought it would be.
We were talking during the break about how I never would have predicted that there would be a government mandating the acceptance of cryptocurrency in some way.
No, and I doubt Satoshi.
So weird.
It's such an oxymoron, and like on the other side of like how I thought things would go down.
Yeah, I doubt Satoshi Nakamoto saw that coming either. But you know, Peakless Mountaineer, you're saying that it hasn't been a nightmare so far. We don't know. We're not actually in El Salvador. We don't know how bad it is.
It has not been the nightmare I thought it would be.
But you don't know. You're not there. But we luckily do have somebody on the line who is. We're going to get to that call in just a moment. But first, I want to continue with Stephen. He's on the line here from AnyPay, calling us from Andorra. And Stephen, you over at AnyPay, you help businesses accept cryptocurrency. You had had multiple conversations with business owners, executives in El Salvador over the last few weeks about helping them accept Bitcoin payments due to this new legal tender law in El Salvador, and what you told us was that none of these business executives, zero of these business people, actually are interested in Bitcoin in any way, shape, or form. They don't want to hold on to it. They don't want to keep it. They just want to turn it into dollars, and I wanted you to be able to continue with your thoughts.
Well, great credit to this guy and the people who were involved. You know, like using Bitcoin is definitely standing up to the world regime. However, it does appear that BTC may be poised to become the next global government currency, where people are forced to use it, and then as normal people aren't even allowed to transact on the Bitcoin blockchain, and they have to use banks who have BTC. It's kind of setting up for a new global regime.
Or the Lightning Network, which is what, Peakless, you were asking about, right? Before we went to break, you had a question about, could the average person have a Lightning node or wallet? And the answer to that
Before we get into that, I wanted to clarify, you mean great credit to the president of El Salvador for standing up against, I mean, the IMF has definitely been breathing down his neck. And like he has gotten a lot of.
But this guy's just a handsome thug. I mean, he's not any different than any other politician out there. And he's mandating something that should never have been mandated, even though he's saying it's not a mandate. All the businesses are taking it as a mandate.
It would have just been so much better if he'd said, hey, we are allowing all cryptocurrency here.
That would have been
allowing, not requiring.
He is a thug. Definitely. He is kind of handsome. I don't know.
I'll trust your judgment on that.
I only said that because he's not your typical, just horribly ugly politician. He's a young man. Like, he's 40 years old, basically.
He does do Pilates or something. It is a mandate which is unethical, totally unethical. And it's odd that they're very, or it's fitting that they're very ambiguous about whether it's a law or not. And the people that I spoke with, not just the executives, but everyone in El Salvador, and I spoke with maybe 100 different people, they were really nervous about this. They did not like it at all. And they felt under a serious pressure that they were being led down a path that they did not understand and that they did not want, and they weren't asking for this, and they felt like this was being imposed upon them. And
right.
So all they wanted was to convert it into dollars as quickly as possible.
And that's the problem. It being imposed on people. Because, like, don't get me wrong, I love the fact that we have crossed a finish line, if you will, of this is literally a currency. But, like, no, that's not the plan. That's not what we're doing. We're not imposing this. This isn't force. The whole point was that this wasn't a currency that gets forced on people.
Stephen, what else do you want to share on this?
Well, yeah, so the greatest benefit that they did adopt was that there is no capital gains tax on the use of Bitcoin. And this is actually extremely important, because in our conversations with people in America, in the United States, almost everyone was, even though they liked the idea of Bitcoin and a market-based currency, they were worried because they were legally subject, or whatever, they were subject, according to the Revenue Service, to capital gains tax on their Bitcoin transactions. Mm-hmm. So people believed that if they were paid in Bitcoin one day and then the following week they went to lunch and spent their Bitcoin, that they would have to track the price change and whether they had to pay some tax to DC. And so what Bukele did here is that he eliminated that worry. He said anyone using Bitcoin is not subject to capital gains tax. And they were really hoping to attract Bitcoin. Basically, they were hoping to attract the giant Bitcoin whales who own like $500 billion worth of Bitcoin.
Right, because they also said if you pay them like 3 Bitcoin, they'll give you a citizenship or something like that, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, well, the El Salvador citizenship is not very powerful on the world stage. There are other citizenships you can purchase with Bitcoin. I definitely recommend checking out flagtheory.com for that.
Flag Theory?
Yeah, passports.io is where you want to look for citizenships where you can buy with Bitcoin.
Interesting.
So I kind of want to question that this thing that you praise about them not having a tax on. So it sounds to me that an El Salvadorian that gets rich because of Bitcoin gets to stay rich because they're not doing the capital gains tax on it. I know it's more complicated than that, but is that at least part of it?
Well, it just takes away the problem of using Bitcoin as currency. So if you get paid one day, say you go and you build a fence for someone and you get paid $200, and then the next day or the next week you go and you buy lunch with that money, you don't want to have to track
You mean you get paid $200 in worth of Bitcoin?
Yeah, worth of Bitcoin. Okay, so you say you get 200 Satoshis or whatever, you know, and then you go and you spend that. You don't want to have to track the price of that in terms of dollars. Otherwise,
it's impossible. By the way, if you're getting paid constantly, if you're buying Bitcoin, you know, on a dollar cost averaging basis every week or every other day or whatever, and you have no idea when your Bitcoin was that you're selling today or buying something with today when you bought. I mean, the whole idea that anyone could possibly do this is absolutely absurd. And so you're right. I mean, that is one of the good aspects of what is happening in El Salvador. And Stephen, thanks for the call tonight, man. Definitely keep in touch. Keep calling in. Always love to hear from you, man.
Yeah, let us know how
you're well out there. Yeah. Calling us at 2 a.m. over there in Andorra. Let's continue. Another international caller. His name is Mark Falson. He's on the line in San Salvador, which is the capital of El Salvador. Mark, thanks for calling in tonight.
Hi, everyone. Nice to meet you.
Welcome.
Hey.
You're on the air.
Hi. Yep. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we got you loud and clear.
What's going on, man?
Great. Hey, it's nice to meet you guys.
Thanks. What's on your mind?
So I am in El Salvador, and I came here to experience the change over to Bitcoin. And there's been a lot of misinformation that I've seen on Twitter and Reddit and just online in general about what's happening. So I thought it would be useful for me to call in and give you my take on it.
Please, yeah, clear it up.
Thank you.
In fact, if you can hang on, we'll bring it back here in just a moment. So will you stick with us?
Sure, absolutely.
All right, more with Mark. It's, by the way, I've actually found him on Twitter earlier this week because I was looking when they were rolling this thing out. I'm like,
one of the best things about the 21st century is direct information.
What's going on out there? I want to find somebody that's talking about this. And Mark with a C, it's M-A-R-C, Mark Falzon with a Z. He was doing a live stream about it, signing up with the Chivo app. So we'll talk to him about it coming up. This is Free Talk Live, and the number here if you want to join us is 603-283-6160. At 603-283-6160. In the studio tonight, you've got Ian.
Because Mountaineer.
And the Reverend Captain Kickass is also here.
By the way, Free Talk Live brought to you by Bitcoin.com. You want to learn about cryptocurrency like Bitcoin and Bitcoin Cash, you can do that and just go to Bitcoin.com. Click Get Started at the top of the page. And then you can watch, I think it's all of 3 minute long introductory video. Now, they do have other videos there. So if you find that you want to dig in even deeper, you can definitely do that over at Bitcoin.com. You can also get the latest news headlines there anytime, updated daily with fresh info over at news.bitcoin.com. Again, that's news.bitcoin.com. We go back to the phones, to the phone. We're talking about the El Salvador.
Speaking about news.
The El Salvador Bitcoin experiment where they've anointed Bitcoin as one of their two
I would call legal, it an implementation is what I would call it
legal tenders, meaning that the government is officially recognizing Bitcoin as a way to pay. Now the big question here, and maybe our guy on the phone here Mark Falzon can answer this, is are businesses treating this like it's a mandate, or are there people who are saying, you know what, I'm going to opt out of Bitcoin and not accepting it? Mark, you're actually there in San Salvador, the capital of El Salvador, right now, and you've been there, I think, for what, like a week or two? How long have you been there?
I've been here for about 2 weeks, and I was here about a week before that, so three altogether.
So you've been there from the from prior to this thing officially kicking off, which started, I believe, on Monday of this week until now. Mm-hmm. What have you been experiencing? What's the reality like on the ground there with this?
The story is pretty long and convoluted, but there are real shortcomings in the discussion surrounding El Salvador online. The word on the street here is it's not working. And when you go on Twitter and Reddit, all you're seeing are posts about how these social media influencers are down here using their wallets and going to Starbucks and having a great time. Mm-hmm. The problem is that the Chivo app, which is what the citizens here have, cannot be used for microtransactions. Hard stop. You can't go to Starbucks with the Chivo app as of right now and order a $1 coffee. It doesn't work.
This was always my issue with choosing Bitcoin as opposed to any of the other worthwhile cryptocurrencies because microtransactions are expensive.
No, wait, hold on. I thought the Lightning Network was all about solving the microtransaction problem. I mean, that's what people who might be called Bitcoin maximalists have been saying.
Which I assumed was the point of the Chivo app.
For years. Is, oh, well, Lightning fixes this. It'll make it so you can spend Bitcoin on a cup of coffee because the problem, as you point out here, Peakless, with Bitcoin has been that the fees have been going up and up and up as Bitcoin's become more popular. It hasn't scaled. And so this Lightning was a supposed solution. I thought the Chivo app was going to be a Lightning app. That's what I'd heard that it was. Why is it not being used for microtransactions?
So that's a great question. And the only person that can answer that question is Bukele. So
the president.
So effectively, through my testing, you can see my live videos, I go through everything, it's very transparent. Mm-hmm. Chivo right now is unable to send Bitcoin or Lightning, either of them, for amounts under $5 to other wallets outside of the Chivo network and even within the Chivo network.
Wow.
Now, I don't know if that is a feature or a bug, but that is what's happening.
That seems like a big oversight if that's a bug. Like, how could they have screwed that
question,
one up?
How did that not get identified on the day that this was implemented?
Oh, it was.
I that's not a question.
Because there was a big crash the day before. But what I thought was going to happen is that they were going to identify whether this worked or not on the day of that was going to get announced. And if it worked, then it would be stable-ish. And if it didn't work, then there was going to be a big, big crash. Why didn't this get the press on the day of?
Well, okay. It's good that you bring that up. So the next part of this conversation is that any reporting that's being done on Chivo not being able to do Chivo-to-Chivo transactions or even the protest is effectively being buried. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is, I don't know if you've seen my Twitter, and the only reason I bring it up is because I had a few followers, like single digits, when I came down here. And I went to an anti-Bitcoin protest that had something like 1,500 people at the demonstration. And I, every single person there is wearing a shirt that says no Bitcoin. They have stickers. They're spray painting it on all the monuments. And I have footage of all of it. And at the protest, I uploaded a drone shot showing all the people marching up the street. Right after that, a pro-government influencer reshared my video and basically said, wrong, there is no Bitcoin protest. They're protesting a judge, something unrelated to Bitcoin.
Quick question. If they're all showing up with T-shirts, who's buying the T-shirts? Because I have seen a lot of protests and anti-protests, and when they all have T-shirts, somebody bought those T-shirts. Like, we have been buying Crypto 6 T-shirts, so I can tell you exactly who bought and made those Crypto 6 T-shirts. But when I see everyone wearing the same T-shirt, somebody bankrolled that. And I know that the government is invested in pro-Bitcoin, so I'm wondering who is bankrolling the anti-Bitcoin protest T-shirts.
To be more specific, there's not one individual T-shirt. It's just people with different shirts. There's stickers that are being handed out there. When you watch the footage, you can kind of decide for yourself whether you think that it's funded by someone behind the scenes, which could be. I went there not with an agenda. I was just documenting it for my YouTube. And when I posted that video up of that drone shot and that critic gaslighted me to say that there is no Bitcoin protest at all, literally there is none, I edited a reel of all the different shots of the protest because he didn't know that I was in El Salvador. And when that went up, it exploded. So it got thousands of shares. It's everywhere, this video exposing this pro-President Bukele influencer for lying and saying that there is no Bitcoin protest.
So there's definitely the fix is in. I mean, these people, it's always been so sad for me to see Bitcoin people who you would like to think know better, but there's like this new generation of Bitcoin people who are all about number go up and they don't care about the individual empowerment of cryptocurrency. And they're like, yeah, go, President Bukele, he's the man. I mean, this guy's another little tyrant, just like the rest of them all around the planet. You know, we shouldn't be getting cozy with politicians, those of us who actually care about advancing crypto. But that's just, the editorial comment. So tell me more, though, Mark, about what you're actually experiencing. Obviously, there's these counter protests. Some people are very unhappy with the Chivo app not being able to send less than $5 worth of Bitcoin, which is a huge hindrance.
Very important.
A huge hindrance on getting business done because this is the app that the government, for listeners that don't know, Chivo stands for, it's like slang for cool. And it is the, can you stay with us, Mark? I know you're probably busy, but do you have time?
Sure.
All right, cool. More with Mark Falzon, by the way. You mentioned his Twitter. It is at Mark, MarkFalzon, if you want to follow him there and find out, what's really going on the ground there in El Salvador on his Twitter account. We got more coming up here with Mark, and your calls and thoughts are also welcome. The number is 603-283-6160 if you want to weigh in on Free Talk Live.
Looking for a great real estate investment? Consider New Hampshire, which is ground zero for the Liberty Movement. Your first call should be to Mark Warden from Porcupine Real Estate. He's more than just a real estate agent. He's your New Hampshire concierge. Where are the best places to live? Do you want farm, city, the burbs, or forest? Do you want a duplex or multifamily building so that renters pay your mortgage? There are homes in all price ranges in New Hampshire, and Mark can help with financing too. Invest in liberty and property. Mark Warden can help.
PorcupineRealEstate.com.
This is Free Talk Live. You can join us here. The number is 603-283-6160. And, you know, one of the things I love doing this show for live is that you never know who's going to pick up the phone and call in. That's one of my favorite aspects of doing an open phone show. I didn't know Mark Falson, but I did know of him because he was one of the people who was down in El Salvador. And I was looking around earlier this week on Monday, like, all right, we know this is the government mandating people taking Bitcoin, or at least that's the way it seems. That's the way the law is written, although the president is saying, oh, no, it's not a mandate. You don't have to take it. A lot of people are treating it as though it's a mandate because that's the way it's written. And the government is launching its own wallet called Chivo. And you know if the government's behind a piece of technology, it's going to be garbage.
Yes, certainly.
So you knew this was going to be a disaster on day number one. So I'm like, all right, there's got to be somebody out there who's, you know, showing us what's happening. And
I'm just shocked that this disaster is taking so long to land.
It happened because the first day.
It's government required. Well, no, day before is when it all crashed.
Okay, I didn't hear that. I heard it was the same day.
It went from like 53,000
to... Oh, you're talking about the price?
Yeah.
No. I'm talking about the app. The Chivo app was shut down on day number one, not even halfway through the day. It was like noon, and the president pressed the pause button and froze the entire app. And I'm sure Mark Falzon can tell us a little bit more about this. He's on the line here, at Mark Falzon. That's MarkFalzon on Twitter. You were there making videos of people trying to use this app to sign up. I watched a part of one of them where dude takes a picture because it's totally know your customer required. You have to put in your photo. You have to put in your name and information in order to sign up for this government app, of course, because they're giving away, by the way, $30 worth of Bitcoin. So they're incentivizing people to sign up for their app, even though, to their credit, it isn't required. You can use other apps to send or receive Bitcoin.
Ooh, can I go sign up and get $30?
I doubt it. I think you have to actually be from El Salvador. But Mark, I'm sure you can tell us more. So, you know, how big of a just screw up has this been from day number one?
It's a disaster here. It's not a launch, it's a crash. You know, a lot of the things that you just said too, you know, you mentioned that it's not mandatory. And, you know, there are shades of gray. Is it not mandatory? There are counties here in El Salvador that announced that in order to pay your taxes, you have to do it through the Chivo app.
Oh, my God.
In order to pay. So, you know.
But wait, now, yes, isn't that because Chivo can use dollars as well?
Chivo can use dollars, yes. Okay. Yeah. So it can use dollars and BTC.
In theory, if it actually is working, which it may not be.
Well, that's a whole nother part of it. So we already mentioned that any transaction under $5 or BTC is effectively blocked, and we could talk about why I think that is, but it's actually much worse than that. So as of right now, if you try to remove Bitcoin at any amount from your Chivo wallet to your own custodial wallet, or excuse me, non-custodial wallet, it will fail.
Wait, so Chivo is a custodial wallet?
Oh, yeah. They got control over this entire system. That's what I was saying. They literally hit the pause button on this wallet on day number one, Peakless. They told people, okay, come on in and use this thing. Nope, wait. You can't use it.
I am just curious, Mark, what is your choice of non-custodial wallet? What do you use?
So I use a combination. I use Exodus on my computer. Uh-huh. I use MUN, and I use Bitcoin.com on my phone.
Okay,
cool. Right. So,
well, and since we're delving into that, you seem to have some experience with cryptocurrency. Now, I would never have chosen BTC for a country. What would you have picked?
Personally, I mean, not that my opinion particularly matters, but I would have used something like Bitcoin Cash just because
You can make microtransactions on it.
Exactly. So that would have been what I chose. The choice of Bitcoin is
insane.
Is what it is.
Yeah. Okay. So tell me more about this Chivo rollout.
Okay. So Chivo rolled out. The app obviously goes off, but it's a new technology. It's the first day. We can expect some issues. The problem is, I don't even know how many days after the launch we are. We're coming up to a whole week soon.
Yeah.
Right. And again, banning microtransactions is a problem. But what concerns me more is if you try to take your money in Chivo and take it out of Chivo, which, by the way, Chivo is a company. It's not run by the government. It is a private company that is making it.
Is it Strike that's making Chivo, or is it a different company? Because Strike, as I understand no?
It is not. It's not Strike. They're using the Strike API, but it's their own internal company they formed to run it.
Got it.
Which, again, there's so many issues that we can talk about. What happens when there's profit? Who does that go to? Does it go back to the taxpayers?
Mm-hmm.
And that's an important note, because the free $30 and they say that it's free to take money out of the ATM. It's not free. It's just the fees are covered through tax-paying money.
Taxpayers are covering the Bitcoin network fees?
Yes.
Wow.
Sounds like education.
Now, hold on.
It's not free. It's paid for by taxpayers.
Just to clarify, is the taxpayer in El Salvador paying for all Chivo network fees, or only the first $30 worth?
Yes. That's a great question. One of the problems here is there's a lack of transparency. So
surprise.
There are a lot of these questions that people at the march were demanding.
Mm-hmm.
One of the problems with the anti-Bitcoin march here and the portrayal of it online is these people are against Bitcoin. They're not. Look at my Twitter. Look at what people are tweeting at me. They're not against Bitcoin. They're against the implementation. They're against the fact that taxpayer money that could be used for other purposes is going to fund a private company.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens with the profit? There's a lot of questions here that are unanswered. Even if the problems with the Chivo app in the short term are resolved, such as blocking $5 and below transactions, there's still bigger problems and questions that need to be answered that there's just not a clear answer yet.
Well, it seems to me that you are pro-crypto and anti-mandate.
That would be a good characteristic.
Well, I'm looking at your tweets right now talking about payments being stuck on the government app. What's going on with that? People are just trying to spend more than $5 and it's just not going through. The system's being frozen. What's happening there?
Okay, so kind of a long story. I'll make it really brief for you guys. I have been making videos documenting the Chivo app so I can show how it works in my video.
Or doesn't work.
And I... or yeah, that's probably a better character. Yeah, exactly. So I had a guy come over who's a citizen here, Hassan, who's in some of my content. And we sat down and tried to get crypto out. Now, what we discovered initially was that the free $30 they give you, they do not let you take it out of the Chivo network.
Mm.
So that's the first thing. And, you know, that in a way makes sense. They want people to use it Chivo to Chivo before they dump it out into a private wallet. Well,
but it's definitely not actually giving you anything.
Well,
because if they gave it to you, then it's yours.
Right. Yeah. So strings are absolutely attached.
Yeah.
But the problem is, and this is where it gets a lot more nefarious, is that let's say you have that $30. I loaded up Hassan's wallet with $50, and you see it in the video. I put additional BTC Bitcoin into his wallet, so he is above that $30 limit, and we try to remove it for a demonstration in the video. It wasn't supposed to be anything special, and the money was pending. Well, 20 minutes go by, an hour goes by, an hour and a half goes by, and it's not working. So I say, all right, this is kind of strange. The next day, the money is still stuck. So I went on Twitter.
So it's pending government approval.
I don't know. It's just pending. The money, and here's the scary part. The money has been deducted from his wallet, but it has not appeared as a pending confirmation in his own private wallet.
Oh, wow. Were you able to see the transaction on like a blockchain explorer?
No, absolutely not. In fact,
lightning.
Not only can you not, you can't see anything. Not only can you not see anything, but on the Chivo app itself, you would think if you have a transaction like on Cash App or PayPal, you can click it and it will give you the details, the address it's going to, information.
total lack of transparency. Oh my God. I mean, this is just absolutely nightmarish.
So just direct government theft.
Well, we don't know. We don't know what's going on, and they're not telling you what's going on. And it is a totally centrally controlled system. Mark, thanks for calling in and sharing all this with us here tonight. People can follow you at Mark Falzon, MarcFalzon on Twitter. Keep in touch if you feel like it. Keep us in the loop.
Please.
We're coming up. It is Free Talk Live. You want to join us? You can. The number here is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Joining you in the studio tonight, it's Ian.
Beakless Mountaineer.
And the Reverend Captain Kickass.
Doesn't have to be about El Salvador. It can be whatever is on your mind, although it's, you know, certainly an unusual, unique situation that has been developing there over the last few months, officially kicking off the legal tender of Bitcoin in El Salvador as of Monday this past week. And Mark Falzon was on the phone with us a moment ago letting us know what it was like.
I just want to opine.
And it's a disaster.
I just want to opine real quick based on what we've heard tonight. I'm concerned about a couple of things. One, I'm concerned that even though technically it wasn't mandated, you know as well as I do, most people,
technically it is mandated.
Well, when they hear that,
they're saying it's not.
Right, right. But when they hear government say something, they're going to act as if it were mandated anyway. So that point is moot. My concern here is that it's creating anti-cryptocurrency sentiment.
Yeah, it is.
That's my number one concern. My other concern is that could this be the powers that be's first attempt to sort of get on the infrastructure side of cryptocurrency?
No, this is definitely not the first attempt.
Well, or
there are people who have
the next
been,
attempt.
It is a next attempt, yeah, because there have been people who, there's a conspiracy theory around Bitcoin, and it goes like this, that the Bitcoin programmers were taken over by a company called Blockstream several years ago, the main players, because technically anyone can contribute code to Bitcoin. It's still technically an open source project, but every project has its major contributors, right? And so some of the major contributors started getting on this they got on the payroll of this company called Blockstream. And Blockstream is, as I understand it, the company that's behind this Lightning Network thing that is being pimped as the solution for Bitcoin, which is centralization, which is why, you know, the government there in El Salvador is able to have total control over this Chivo app, because it's a completely centrally controlled app. The Lightning Network is even more centralization on top of what is supposed to be a Bitcoin decentralized network. And so what happened was, this company that Blockstream, when you start looking into who funded them, again, following the money, turns out it's companies like MasterCard. And, well, MasterCard's, of course, tied in with the banking system.
Yeah.
I mean, they are the banking system.
Yeah.
So companies like MasterCard funding a group called the Digital Currency Group, which is one of the investors in Blockstream, if I'm recalling all of the different legs of this conspiracy together. And so what did Blockstream do? When Bitcoin hit in 2017, you started seeing the fees going up on the Bitcoin network. Actually started before 2017, but it started getting really nasty in 2017. Fees started going up, and the programmers were arguing about, all right, well, how do we solve this problem? Our network is full. Our transactions are maxed out, and we need to – and Bitcoin can't handle many transactions per second. I think it's like, what, 7 per second or something like that? Or it's not very many.
Yep.
And so some people were saying, well – we need to increase the block size, so that way more transactions per every 10 minutes. There's this block that gets mined onto the blockchain, which is the public ledger of all the, you know, historic transactions that have ever happened. 1 megabyte is the block size at the moment, and the same size back then.
Right.
And so these guys were saying, hey, let's double the block size. Let's make it so we can do twice as many transactions every 10 minutes. And the side that said no was the Blockstream side. The side that is benefiting from keeping Bitcoin restricted, keeping Bitcoin expensive, keeping the fees up, they benefit because it gives them the narrative to say, oh, we need this Lightning Network as the solution to
the side that made it hard to spend less than $5.
That's them.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. They made it impossible, basically.
Well, here's what really bugs me about this, because for all of the effort that it takes to run a decentralized blockchain, and it's a lot of effort to run a decentralized blockchain, but
a lot
the
of energy,
good part,
a lot of computer time.
Yeah, the good part about that was certainty. And what bugs me about what I'm finding out tonight is that, okay, look, there's always been a difference between on the books laws and on the boots laws. Mm-hmm. Like what they enforce and what they say. And what bugs me the most about this is it is fogging that difference.
Yeah, and basically you have what is essentially a takeover. I mean, people like Gavin Andreessen, who was the guy to whom Satoshi Nakamoto handed the keys to the kingdom, so to speak. When Satoshi Nakamoto disappeared, the creator of Bitcoin, in 2011, he has not surfaced in a decade. He or she. We still don't know who it is.
Or they.
That person or persons handed the keys, the admin, basically, over to Gavin Andreessen, who's a libertarian. He was a listener of Free Talk Live. He's the guy that came here to talk to us about Bitcoin in like 2011 or 2012.
Yeah.
And they drove him out of the project. These people who support the centralized version of Bitcoin, who support the expensive version of Bitcoin. And after 2017, what happened, just to bring our listeners up to speed, I wish I didn't have to tell this history. I wish it didn't work out this way, but this is the way it worked out. There was a schism that happened in August of 2017 where the people who said, you know what, low fees are important. We want people to be able to use this for buying small things. If you want to be able to spend 10 cents worth of Bitcoin, it shouldn't cost you $2 to send 10 cents worth of Bitcoin. You should be able to send it for less than a cent. That's the way it used to be. And so those people who are called the big blockers, because they wanted their solution was to increase the block size, on August 1st of 2017, those people drew a line in the sand and they said, all right, we're saying goodbye. We're going to use what is built into this protocol, this whole system of open source currency, and we're going to split the Bitcoin chain for the first time ever, and that was what created Bitcoin Cash.
Right, the fork.
That was the fork.
And the, I dare say, journalist who went down to El Salvador to investigate these things, when I asked him, when I pressed him, what would you have used instead of BTC, BCH? When I asked him, what would you have chosen? And he's like, well, personally... Because he wants there to be small transactions.
I'm with you. It's interesting to me that he did say that because during one of the breaks I perused, you found his Twitter. I found a Facebook page of his where he did a 3-day thing in Philly where he spent nothing but either Bitcoin or Bitcoin Cash specifically. And so that ties right back into it with what we already know from living here in Keene, New Hampshire, which is Bitcoin Cash seems to be the cryptocurrency of choice for your everyday transactions, your small transactions. You need a pack of smokes, you use Bitcoin Cash at the convenience store, right?
I like Dash a little bit more.
Okay, I'm not saying that there aren't better choices.
Yeah.
I'm just saying that seems to be when it comes to
Bitcoin Cash are number one.
Bitcoin Cash is the number
one. Bitcoin Cash is number one. Dash is number two here in the Keene area based on the numbers. And AnyPay can provide you with those numbers. But the other thing I wanted to say was after the schism that happened, you had the side of Bitcoin Cash going in the direction of larger blocks, and they have no issues with – there's no fees that you have to even speak of. I mean, it's always almost always less than 2 cents or 1 cent. It's worth of Bitcoin Cash on that blockchain. Mm-hmm. Whereas on Bitcoin, the original BTC, it's like maybe it's going to be 20 cents if you're lucky. Maybe it's going to be $2. You know, it just depends on the network's load at the time, and it's bad. But ever since that change happened, the narrative – from the Bitcoiners, BTC, the Bitcoin maximalists, has been not that this is money or not that this could be used as a currency, but it's a savings tool.
Right, a store of value.
It's a store of value.
They don't even want it to be a currency, which is what it was literally designed to be.
Correct. If you look at the white paper that Satoshi Nakamoto wrote, it is called a peer-to-peer electronic cash.
Right.
And the advocates for Bitcoin, the biggest ones, the biggest loudmouths out there, the influencers, they aren't talking about it as electronic cash. They're talking about it as a savings tool, like, oh, buy this thing, hold on to it, number go up, yay. And there's nothing wrong with number go up. I mean, good for you if that worked out for you. And, you know, it probably has. If you've bought Bitcoin at any point in the past, probably the number has gone up.
If you held it.
If you've held on to it. But it's not useful as a currency anymore, and the Lightning Network doesn't make it useful. It makes it more confusing. It makes it just unendingly, you know, confusing to look at and try to figure out, and it's like, why would you bother with any of this when you can just use Bitcoin Cash? You could use Dash. You could use Monero. You can use 17,000 other, you know, cryptocurrencies.
And this seems to me to be the big illusion of, like, okay, I get that there's a difference between Kleenex and facial tissues, but if I can get facial tissues for a tenth the price... if they do the same job, they do the same job.
It's a no-brainer.
Now, I get that there is a fact that, like, yes, you can make an infinite number of cryptocurrencies, but there's a finite amount of network.
Yes, and there's a finite amount of brain space that people can consider out there. Let's go to your calls and thoughts. Pam is on the line in Las Cruces, New Mexico. Go ahead, Pam.
Hi.
Hey, what's on your mind tonight?
Yeah, there's one thing about the vaccine that is an obvious truth, but nobody on either side is talking about it.
Really? Okay.
The fact that it doesn't work at all.
Yeah.
I've pointed that out a billion times, as well as none of the things government has tried have actually worked to stop the spread of
COVID. Oh, just get a third one. Yeah, if you want to hang on, Pam, we'll bring it back here in a moment. But just get a third shot. Then it'll start working. No, you need a fourth shot. There's going to be more shots. Then it'll help, right? The more shots you get, the more... No, probably not. It might actually make you sick. You might die from taking the vaccine. There's more coming up here in moments. Hour number three is on the way. It's Free Talk Live.
When a lunar observatory detects a radio broadcast originating from Proxima Centauri, the nations of Earth discover their first contact with an alien race may also be their last. With the Proximans facing an extinction-level disaster, Earth must choose between sending a ship on a multi-year journey or allowing nature to take its course. Saving Proxima, a hard science fiction thriller by Travis S. Taylor and Les Johnson. From BaneBooks.com.
Free Talk Live.
This is Free Talk Live. You can bring up whatever you want here as we kick off the third hour of this live Saturday episode of the show. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Here tonight it's Ian.
Nicholas Mountaineer.
And the Captain.
We're going to go back into your phone calls and thoughts. Again, it can be about whatever you want. We've talked about El Salvador and what's going on there with the Bitcoin mandate, or is it Bitcoin nightmare because the government app is just a cluster F.
When government tries to implement technology, this is what happens.
Yeah. Counter-protests by people who aren't necessarily against cryptocurrency. They're just against the mandate. They're against the government, you know, teaming up with some private company and funneling taxpayer money to them.
I don't think I've ever heard of an anti-cryptocurrency protest.
Never.
Ever. Like, never, this has to be the first life. One.
Well, and this isn't per se anti-crypto. It's anti-cronyism. It's anti-mandates.
Well, he said anti-Bitcoin. At least the caller did, and they were wearing.
Well, that's how they're
no
summing
Bitcoin.
It up,
right? So that's of course what the common denominator, the general people, like the regular folk.
If
are
anyone
going to
out
latch
there
onto.
Feels the need, I encourage you to make an anti-Bitcoin protest. We could really use more anti-Bitcoin protests because. It'd be nice if a few people knew what it was.
Let's go back to the phones here, though. We got Pam. She's on the line. She called in about the vaccine, saying, you know, the big secret is they don't work at all. Pam, go ahead with your thoughts. Do we lose Pam? Pam going once? Pam going twice? We'll put Pam back on hold. She was there, and then she was. Oh, there she is. There she is.
Well, first of all, have noticed that people are still coming down with the COVID, even though they've been vaccinated.
Mm-hmm. They've noticed that the vaccinated are also able to continue to transmit COVID to people.
I in fact, read about a cruise ship where everybody on the cruise, you had to prove you were vaccinated before you could get on the cruise, and they did that, and they got sick.
And I think the reason why it seems to work so well on a cruise ship, and they did point out some military ships where sailors were also getting more ill than in everyday life, is the fact that they're breathing each other's air over and over again in the enclosed spaces. Mm-hmm. And I think that is contributing to the more severe cases. And they said that they tried using some hydroxychloroquine on the sailors in that one ship, and it didn't work. Well, they waited until they were nearly dead, and all of these guys had rebreathed.
Yeah, that's the thing about a lot of the things that can help with this have to be applied early, or they don't help at all.
And the load was so heavy from rebreathing each other's air that all of them were just probably just walking viruses, you know. By the
overwhelmed,
time.
Yeah.
Right, overwhelmed completely. And I think that's why it went up so high on the cruise ship, because those three people, if they were attending some other kind of activities where they all got together and then left, well, the leaving would allow them to breathe the clean air. And while they were together would be the only time they would be rebreathing the mutual air. And it, maybe not as many would have come down with it. I think it has a lot to do with how much virus you breathe in and how much time you spend around other people that are carrying it, how many people you're around that are carrying it, as to how serious it actually hits certain people.
Yeah, that's called a viral load. And there's a very big difference between passing someone on the street and standing there in front of them and having a conversation.
Exactly.
You know, something else they did, Pam, was they changed the definition of vaccine. Have you heard about this?
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, they changed the definition, not just the CDC, but like Merriam-Webster went along with it, right? So like they're...
Oh, to ignore natural immunity?
No. What they've done is they've changed it from basically talking about like it's a preparation of a weakened or killed bacteria introduced into... or virus introduced into the body to prevent a disease by stimulating antibodies against it. That's the old definition. Other older definitions refer to, you know, the creation of immunity. The new definition, they do actually update it to include the mRNA thing, but also to, quote, stimulate a preparation that is administered to stimulate the body's immune response against a specific infectious disease. So they changed the definition to mean that vaccine could mean just that stimulates their immune response, not that necessarily you'll be immune.
Just throwing this out here, but by that definition, a mosquito is a vaccine.
Oh, yeah.
Allergies are a vaccine.
Yeah. So the fix is in. Pam, thanks for the call tonight. I appreciate hearing from you. The number is 603-283-6160. Let's go to David in New Mexico. You're on Free Talk Live. David.
Yeah. Kiva owner, host Eddie Erica. This is from Insider Radio, running for mayor of Albuquerque 2 weeks ago. Albuquerque Journal, ABQ mayoral candidate faces legal challenge. That's 1 week ago. This is a story. Two more left. Petition filed to remove mayoral candidate Eddie Erigan from the ballot. That's 1 week ago. KOB4 and KRQE13 one day ago. Talk show host Eddie Erigan stays in the mayoral race despite petition over residency. So here's the skinny. So today on the wonderful KKKOB radio Accumulus station, corporate monster Jim Villanucci. So as they've been doing for several weeks now, and I confirmed it, they have an order from their management. If anybody says Eddie Erigan, they are to be dumped. And so when I said Eddie Erigan on Jim Villanucci's show today on KKKOB, they dumped me. And here's an interesting part. This is where this lawsuit thing started. They had the reporter from KOB4 came in to interview the new candidate, Eddie Erigan. And you expect that a candidate interview to go a certain way. They kind of go a certain way. We want to know about the candidate. Mm-hmm. Turns out that Chris Ramirez is the investigative reporter for KOB. And he comes in, and the only question he's interested in when he's interviewing the potential next mayor of Albuquerque, a market of over a million people, he wants to know about Eddie's residence, because Eddie had a divorce and he got rid of the home, the family home, and he moved into his business space until he finds a new home, a replacement home. And so the investigative reporter, Chris Ramirez from KOB4, comes in and grills Eddie about his residence.
So it's not about what policies he'll have as the mayor or what he wants to do, you know, when he gets into office or if he gets into office. It's all about whether or not he's even qualified for the ballot.
That's right. And it's notable that Chris Ramirez is obviously a leftist type and Eddie is a rightist type. So there is some motive there. So
mentioning the mere name of a public candidate gets you dumped.
Yes, I have confirmed that more than once by my back channels into KKKOB radio.
I mean, this would be great news if they applied this consistently across all candidates ever for anything. This would be great news.
Right. And so Eddie gets sued. Democrat voter who is voting for his supporting his competition, supporting the sheriff against Eddie, she files a lawsuit with the help of a lawyer, Thomas Grover, I believe it is, who coincidentally is a former APD cop turned lawyer. And she sues him because he lives in his business, and that makes him not a resident of Albuquerque, even though his business is in Albuquerque. And the end of the story is that, as everybody would expect, the judge tossed out the lawsuit, saying that this is a zoning issue, not a civil rights, whether you can vote or be a candidate issue, because he obviously, as a 11th generation New Mexican, having lived in and worked in Albuquerque for the last 10 years since returning here, and being his business being firmly in the city limits of Albuquerque, is qualified to be on the ballot. And Linda Stover, the clerk in charge of the election in Albuquerque, says the same thing as well. She says until a judge tells her to take him off, she's not taking him off.
Wow, all of this over a candidate in a city where basically if you're a Republican, you have no chance of winning. They're freaking out.
Well, I guess we've reached the end of no such thing as bad publicity.
They're freaking out over the owner of Kiva, which is the radio station we're on, by the way. We're on there, we're on right now. They're in Albuquerque. It's just a crazy situation. Thank you, David, for the call tonight. I appreciate it. Your calls and thoughts are welcome. 603-283-6160. The libertarians are saying mass noncompliance. We'll tell you about it coming up. This is Free Talk Live. Open phones if you want to join us here. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. And in the studio with you tonight, you've got Ian.
Bigless Mountaineer.
And the Captain.
Of course, you can take control of the airwaves. That's the point of the show. Also, want to make sure you know about Intercoin. We told you about Intercoin last year. It can help any business or organization launch their own currency or raise money using their own token. Now, Intercoin.org has launched worldwide. If there's a token you want to launch or an app that you want to build, you can go to Intercoin.org, enter your email, and the team will get in touch and learn about your needs. And while you're there, if you want, you can get some Intercoins for yourself. That's Intercoin.org. We're going to go to your phone calls and thoughts. Let's talk to Major Payne. He's on the line in Michigan. Major Payne, you're on Free Talk Live.
Hey, good evening, gents.
What's on your mind?
Always good to receive friendly fire.
Major Payne, what's going on?
Yeah. The you guys were talking about, I believe it was Ecuador that took Bitcoin as their
El
national
Salvador.
Currency. El Salvador. All right. Well, I can't believe or blame some of the people for being a little PO'd because they're getting something shoved down their throat they had no call in.
Yep.
You know, so that's understandable. But anyway, I wanted to call in on the brief history of our fearless, brainless leader, old China Joe. There was one of his cohorts that had spent his whole life as a career politician in Washington and watched all the voting through the House of Representatives and whatnot. And he said, old China Joe's been on the wrong side of every vote he made for 42 years. And this is before he was even thought of as being a presidential candidate, right? And so now we go fast forward to where we are right now. Well, Trump had the border sealed up. He opened that up.
Trump didn't have the border sealed up.
Well, he had it a lot more sealed up and on the way to proceeding to finish the job than any
other wrong president. I'm sorry. I'm a little bit divided on the whole border thing, and he sure talked a good game. He sure talked a good game about, I'm going to finally do what those Republicans have been always promising you. He talked a good game and he did nothing. He could have. He could have just done the thing. And I'm not saying that would have been great. I'm not sure.
It's amazing to me still the phrases that come out of the show.
Because he had too many insiders in the snake pit surrounding him. He was fought against for his whole tenure. You know, everything he really got through, arm wrestle for.
But there are a couple of things that if he'd actually stuck his nose to the grindstone, he could have gotten done. Oh, like end the wars. He could have just said, all right, this is going to suck, guys, but everybody come home now.
Well, and this is
Well, speaking of which, we're going
to
go.
And now Biden gets to end more wars than he did. I'm not happy about that.
No, well, Biden has been lighting dumpster fires all over his history behind him. And what we're dealing with now, this is Afghanistan. It's another giant dumpster fire.
Well, we understand, and I would agree, I think, that Biden is a historically, you know, terrible politician. He's one of those people that spent his whole life.
One of the inventors of the drug war, for one thing.
Yep. He's one of those people that spent literally his entire life doing politics. He's never done anything useful.
Freaking tyrant.
If you don't like me, vote for the other Biden.
He was right in there giving the Mexicans M16s. What was that smuggling issue there was a while back? Ended up killing an ATF agent with one of the guns.
Oh, yeah. If we give all these cartels a bunch of M16s, but we put barcodes on them, I'm sure we'll know exactly where they go, and that'll help us fight the drug war.
Thanks, Major Payne, for the call tonight. I appreciate it.
Just to marry Major Payne's call with David from New Mexico's call, can anybody tell me why anybody should be qualified to rule your life?
Now you just got me thinking of marrying Major Payne with David in New Mexico and what that would result in. Sorry, what was the actual point you were making?
I don't remember. That was too funny.
No, he has a very good point. Like, there are these psychopaths that are the worst that humanity has ever produced.
Like, really?
And they claim to govern you.
No person, I was going to use the word nobody, but nobody is qualified to run your life, literally. Except for yourself, you know, and unless, of course, you, you know, figure out that you're not capable or you want to give that over to somebody else voluntarily.
Yeah, if you want Joe Biden to tell you how to live, then you should be able to make that choice.
Right. You are allowed to give him power over you. You are allowed to give your government to Joe Biden if you want to, but you are not allowed to give my government to Joe Biden.
And so if you want to have Obama as your leader, if you want to have Bush or Bush 2 or Clinton as your leader, if you want any of these a-holes, if you want to have them as your leader, you are free to go and follow them. And you always have been.
If that's who you want governing you.
What you don't have is the right to force that person onto anybody else.
Amazingly, Newsweek, of all places, wrote a story. I mentioned it earlier in the show, but I actually want to share it here about libertarians. I couldn't believe it. I mean, libertarians almost get no press nationwide, but for whatever reason, Dara Roche.
We're the country's dirty little secret that there's actually people who don't want to be governed by you.
Yeah, the Libertarian Party, which, again, normally is not worth writing about as far as headlines are concerned, strongly criticized Joe Biden's decision to introduce vaccine mandates and urged, quote, mass noncompliance, unquote, with new requirements. And this is in regards to the executive orders coming out on Thursday, which we discussed here about federal employees, except for the Congress people and their staff,
ordered to
get vaccinated. And then the new Department of Labor OSHA rule that will mandate that businesses with more than 100 employees have to get their people vaccinated or tested weekly. The official Twitter account of the Libertarian Party criticized the new mandates following the announcement Thursday.
Finally.
And several of the party's state branches did the same. They tweeted, quote, "We told you we are hashtag already against the next mandate. With Biden's latest executive order, he is directly attacking the bodily autonomy of millions of people." They said further, "This is not leadership. This is abuse of power. This is not a representative democracy. This is tyranny." In a later tweet, they wrote that, quote, "Vaccine mandates will not lead to wider trust in science. It will only lead to hashtag mass noncompliance." In a response to a tweet from Biden's official account, they wrote, "You're not a dictator. You can't force vaccines on people." Well, it seems like he actually can and will.
That remains to be seen.
Vaccines on people.
That remains to be seen. Well, so two things. People with courage can just not do this.
I agree.
And people with less courage can go, "Hey, one of the two big gangs is about to protect me," and they can just not do this too. and wait for the Republican National Committee to file the lawsuits. And
that's not going to protect people. What's going to happen if those lawsuits aren't successful? Then are all those Republicans just going to say, well, roll up my sleeve. Okay, no. The court said so.
What the libertarian, I don't
know. How long is it going to take for that to be a lawsuit?
What the libertarians, and not just the party, but people who value liberty and freedom all around, should be participating in mass noncompliance. They are correct about that.
Yes.
The only way out of this is mass noncompliance. The more people that don't comply, the better off we're going to be. Start not complying.
That's the
now.
Truth. There's no better time than now to start that process of saying no. 603-283-6160. It feels good, by the way, to say no. You should try it. We're coming up here. This is Free Talk Live.
Brute force, intransigent defiance, adamantine will. These are the hallmarks of the AI tank. These gigantic machines have the firepower of an army, but they also have their own sense of honor and duty. When the world breakers arrive, battle will be joined, planets will shake, and war and peace will never be the same again. World Breakers. Stories from David Weber, Larry Correa, and more. Available August 3rd from BaneBooks.com.
It's Free Talk Live. Phones are open here if you want to join us. The number 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Here tonight, it's Ian.
Speakless Madman.
And Beardo number 3.
We're talking about the libertarians actually getting a little bit of press from Newsweek. Must have been a slow week there at Newsweek, because they're actually reporting on...
So they're getting a little depressed?
A little bit of press.
Oh, a little bit of press.
The
okay.
Libertarians are actually getting news coverage, which almost
I
never happens.
Libertarians were Voldemort.
It almost never happens outside of New Hampshire. Where
Wait. What's a libertarian?
It's somebody that believes in freedom, somebody that believes that you should be free to live your life how you want, so long as you don't harm somebody else. That's kind of a libertarian.
Since they don't get press, I just thought we should put
that's an important question to answer. But yeah, generally, if you're outside of New Hampshire, if you're a libertarian, you don't get any press coverage. I mean, you're completely ignored. You're completely on the sidelines. You're not worth talking about. And that's why what they're saying here, they're not wrong. A libertarian's saying that people need to engage in mass noncompliance with the new mandates on vaccines. People should have been doing mass noncompliance on all the government mandates. I mean, this shouldn't have been the line in the sand, but hey, if that's what it takes, then okay.
Hey, I'll say this about the official libertarians, better late than never.
Yes, no doubt. Libertarian Party of New Hampshire even gets a quote here from their tweet. They say, we will not comply, nullify all federal mandates. Now, that's why the New Hampshire guys,
spirit.
You got to love those guys over at the New Hampshire Libertarian Party. They get it. And we'll continue with your calls and thoughts. Of course, you can bring up whatever is on your mind. Let's go to the phones and to the fun. We got Ed. He's on the line in Columbia, there in
Hello?
South Carolina, listening to WQXL. Go ahead, Ed.
Yes, I got a question for you. Our president is grabbing power, and you used the word before the break, tyranny, and we're seeing it more and more. What does the libertarian picture or video, if I were to play it 5 years from now and there was a reaction to this tyranny, I mean, like, I haven't worn a mask, I'm not taking the vaccine, my family's not taking the vaccine, but yet they wear the mask when they're told to. So, and we have a wonderful governor here that's going to drive Biden down to the gates of hell, what he said. But my question is, when is tyranny so strong that you react in the way the Second Amendment describes?
Well, personally, I don't believe in violence as a solution. I think that if you engage in violence, you essentially are using the tools that the state would use.
If you act on the Second Amendment, then you go down. And that's that.
You're right.
Yeah,
so
exactly,
here's my suggestion is get yourself a community.
Yeah. So that's what the libertarians are doing, at least the smart ones. The smart ones are making the move to New Hampshire as part of either the Free State Project or just individually people coming here and joining together to actually gather to a community of libertarians. so that way we can actually back each other up physically in real life. And again, I don't advocate for violence. I don't blame somebody for getting upset. I don't blame somebody for turning towards that. I can understand that's what, you know, anger does, is it makes people want to get revenge. And
well, if
and
they
want
to hold me down and stab something into me, there's going to be 20 or 50 people around me, and it doesn't even matter whether we have guns or not. There's going to be 20 or 50 people around me saying, you can't do that.
Yeah, and if you have enough people, you don't need
to. Now, let me ask this.
Well, I'd like to finish the answer, if you don't mind. If you have enough people, you don't need violence. If you have enough people to say no, they don't have enough jail cells in which they can put all of those people. So if you've got enough people, not only can you win a political election, but you can also just flat out refuse to obey any sort of diktat from the government. So mass noncompliance in a geographic area is the most important aspect. Because if you noncomply all by yourself in a city like San Francisco, you're just going into the clink and no one's going to, you know, be able to hear from you again.
Wow, that's what I felt like. Absolutely. When you're not wearing a mask and everybody else is. You know, I've exactly felt like that. And, but if you have Australia is like a prison.
Yes,
it is.
Paris is going crazy.
Australia is the warning.
It really is. It's the picture of our future if we don't do exactly what you're saying. If we don't band together and do like those people did with Trader Joe's out in California and all walk into a store and lay the cash on the counter and walk out. That's the funniest thing I've ever seen. I don't know if you saw that.
Yeah.
But I do have another question.
Well, I also saw the video where they blocked the people from leaving Trader Joe's. I don't know where that one took place, but they refused to allow them to leave the store after laying cash down. They actually forced the money back into their hands and demanded they give the products back. So
I guess you call that saving face.
It's played out differently. Sorry, Captain, go ahead.
I wanted to just say, Ed, that my philosophy here is that, you know, armed rebellion, if it was going to happen, it should have happened already, right? So then what's the next strategy? Well, I think that it's far better to build the new thing that works better than it is to fight the old thing. And our Buckminster Fuller,
that's my next question,
has this quote, and it is, you never change things by fighting the existing reality.
Right.
To change something, build a new model that makes the existing model obsolete. And so we're, for the first time in human history, we have some of this coming to fruition. Cryptocurrency is one of them.
So what do you think about this movement that of American nationals? I mean, it kind of resembles the sovereignty thing that was 40 years ago, but it's regarding the law of the land instead of being a citizen, but you are a American national governed by the Constitution,
do you have
not by a code.
A bunch of people that agree with you on that.
That's
what matters.
I'm either way on it.
No, that's the thing. So, like, they're not wrong-headed about this. But here's the thing. So I can just skip all that. There are people around me who know what my rights are. They know what I'm entitled to. And it's I mix my labor with nature, and I make deals with people. They know what belongs to me. So all this can just get skipped over, because here's what matters. Who agrees with you? Who's around you that knows that that's the truth?
That's what makes things reality, is when people agree on a thing and they're together in a place. I don't know what these this movement you're talking about, the American National, is it somehow related to like sovereigns or what is it? Tell me a little bit more.
Kind of like sovereigns. I could send you a link or something if you want. But it's got to do with taking the right steps to separate yourself from citizenship, and that way it's kind of similar to that sovereignty movement. But it's really not about sovereignty. It's about being governed by the law of the land.
I have gotten caught up in
these
things.
Well, hold on. Before you go on, the law of the land is a bunch of BS, because you didn't write it. I didn't write it. We didn't agree to it.
The common law.
The Constitution. Okay, well, that's different.
Now, if by the law of the land, you mean people around you, yeah, absolutely. The people around you determine what is real.
Yeah.
And if you
want to, like maritime law, but
well,
it's the
then
law
don't get caught up. Don't get caught up learning a whole bunch of particulars. Get caught up with actually forming relationships with human beings around you.
That's good advice.
That's the most difficult thing of today's common person. They don't even know their neighbors.
They're disconnected for sure. Thanks, Ed, for the call tonight. I definitely appreciate hearing from you. Let's continue. We got Jen on the line in Nevada calling from Vegas. Go ahead, Jen.
Hey, so I'm a software engineer, and I worked from home for 6 years for the same company, and then 11 years previously in the office. But we're a healthcare company, and on Friday night at 5 p.m., funny, they sent an email out saying that we will follow the government guidelines and that everyone has to be vaccinated. We'll let you know more later, which, of course, I have not taken the jab. I am a protester here and everything. So,
and you work from home.
I work from home, so they didn't say the details yet, so I'm waiting to see. But there's no way I'm taking the jab.
Yeah, well, because, you know, the virus can jump through your computer and travel over the internet and infect you in your own home from somewhere else.
Well, is that what a computer virus is?
Yeah. So I don't know if you guys know, but it's Peggy Hall for the Healthy American. She's in Orange County, and she has been fighting this and, like, no masks, all this stuff. And she has put down the religious exemption, which people are using. And Robert Barnes,
we have got to form our own ways of doing commerce. We have to form our own companies where we're free together.
Well, I'm curious to know what happens, Jen. Let us know. Give us a call. Let us know how this pans out. It sounds like you think there might be a chance you can keep this job. I'm curious to know how that pans out for you. Again, she works in the healthcare industry. Thanks for the call tonight. Of course, a lot of these healthcare people are mandating this, and the feds are now saying if you take Medicare or Medicaid, you have to mandate vaccinations. It's Free Talk Live. Join us here if you want. The number is open for you at 603-283-6160. And I want to say thanks to Jared H., who is a Free Talk Live Gold Amplifier. That means Jared is contributing at least $10 a month to the AMP program over at amp.freetalklive.com. And that is a way to help advertise, market, and promote Free Talk Live to help us get on more radio stations around the United States and bring new people on board with the ideas of freedom. So if you like what we do here, then that is a great way to help support the show, like Jared H. has done over at amp.freetalklive.com. You get some cool perks, get some bennies.
Thanks, Jared.
Yep, that's ampamp.freetalklive.com. It's Ian Peakless Mountaineer and Captain Kickass in the studio. Let's go to your phone calls and thoughts. First up, he's John in Dover, Delaware, listening to WDOV. Go ahead, John.
Hey, guys. I wanted to mention somebody earlier, I don't know which one of you it was, said that you don't believe in violence. I remember someone saying that.
Yeah, I said
that. Want to know who does believe in violence?
Government.
The government gang.
The state.
Yeah.
The state certainly most does believe.
Yeah, I don't
want to
be like them. I mean, look, I'm fine with people using violence to defend themselves. I get that. That's totally legitimate to me. I just don't think it's going to be a good plan when it comes to the state. I think you got to be more creative.
The state doesn't use violence to defend itself. The state uses violence to take power from people. That's what they use violence
for,
my friend.
Yes, that's correct.
It sounds to me like you're trying to ask, how do we get power back to ourselves? And
well, you can't get power back from these maniacs. These maniacs.
We absolutely can. We absolutely do get power back, even though they stole it from us, even though they mind washed us the whole way, because we can form communities. We can trade with each other, and trade is a miracle where we become more powerful with each other.
Have you seen these people lately in the way that they act when they get a little bit of power underneath of their belts? These people are nothing but tyrants. How the hell we ever got to the point where we have a bunch of psychologically unstable people running our country right into a ditch? I'll never know, man.
Oh, I know. It's public crazy education.
Mm. Well, maybe so.
Too many people giving them power.
Something really needs to be done before it's too late, because like I said, these people are vampires, man. They're going to hold on. And
you're right. Something needs to be done, and that something
left,
is real simple. Breathe
COVID
air,
nonsense,
drink water, eat food, and love people. That's all it takes.
I told you they're psychologically
unstable. Yes, they are psychopaths.
They don't believe in compassion.
Right.
Nor do they believe in love. All
how do we fight
money and power?
How do we fight the fear?
You
how do we fight fear? We fight
else
fear with love.
The state needs to be crumbled, man. It needs to be crushed. Yes. That's
the only way you're
going to
do it. You're not going to do it with violence. You can't crush the state. They've got tanks. They've got bombs. They will fight you back. They will fight with everything they have to keep their legitimacy. The way you destroy them is to, as you said, Captain, build the alternatives.
Yes.
Focus on those alternatives. And focus your energy and your money and your time there.
Believe it or not, open a history book and you'll see that the state will crush itself.
Yes.
We might actually be in a very nice position to see the state crush itself. And if and when that actually occurs, if we already have infrastructure in place that is independent of the state, then we can finally have an opportunity to actually be free.
You can just walk away and with very little,
the state crushes itself. We build our way out of its footprint.
We got to start building now, though. Thanks for the call, John. I appreciate it. Let's go to Bob. He's in West Virginia listening in Charleston to WVTS. Yes. Go ahead, Bob.
Hey, this mandate that's President Biden wishes to impose on the American people is based on a false reading of a Supreme Court case. And that would be Jacobson versus Massachusetts, 197 U.S. 11.
Is that the one with the, was it smallpox vaccine when that was mandated?
Correct. That is absolutely correct. Yes, sir. And what they basically, the Supreme Court said that the state of Massachusetts has police power and that they passed it through the legislature. It is actually a statute that was passed in Massachusetts in 1905. And it was not, and so given its police powers and that it was passed through the legislature, it wasn't just an executive order.
Mm-hmm.
It is lawful for the state of Massachusetts to mandate under statute mandatory vaccine.
Well, I get the legal distinction you're making. I'd just like to point out that I don't care. I don't care if a state legislature passes something. It makes it no more legitimate to me. These are all a bunch of strangers who are trying to enforce their will upon my life, and I'm not interested in complying with them or any of these executive orders or any of this nonsense.
We're dealing with Mr. Joe Biden, who is the federal executive of the United States.
Do you believe him?
Given that's what he's doing. Well,
do you believe him? He claims government over you. Do you believe him?
No, Mr. Wizard. I'm sorry.
Mr. Wizard.
You're a smart guy.
Listen. Me neither.
Okay, here's the deal. That's how you beat him. It's simple. You simply state that 197 U.S. 11 doesn't apply to his authority whatsoever, and it does not.
All he'll say, it's a state of emergency. I can do whatever I want.
He can say that, but it doesn't apply.
What if the courts agree?
How about this?
Hold on. What if the courts agree with him?
They're not going to agree with him because it'll go all the way up to the Supreme Court.
Well, that's a very optimistic view. What were you going to say, Peekless?
I was about to say, how about I ain't the sort of thing you can govern. You got no right to govern me. Now, if you want case law on that, I can give you Lansing versus Smith, which the reason we overthrew a king was so that we could devolve those powers onto the people. And I am the people.
Okay, it's not going to go. It's not going to pass muster with the courts. That's what I'm saying.
Well,
because
they are also illegitimately claiming government over you.
If it does pass muster with the courts, are you going to roll up your sleeve and obey?
It's not going to. It's not going to pass muster with the courts.
You didn't answer my question.
What is your question?
If it does pass muster with the courts, if you're wrong, are you going to roll up your sleeve and obey?
I'll get back to you on that.
Well, okay, I'll tell you something. I don't do a blood ritual for them.
Thanks, Bob. I appreciate your call tonight, man.
Yeah.
Thank you. You appreciate it. We're continuing here. Unscreened caller, you're on Free Talk Live. Hello.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Hey, what's on your mind?
Hey, my name's David. I'm actually running for California governor. I just stumbled on your Twitch channel, so I'm just checking it out.
All right, David.
To call in because I saw the number.
Why are you running for governor of California, and why should people care?
Well, the main thing is a lot of the people that I know have left, and obviously anyone who's living. I'm in the L.A. area, so I've been considering leaving myself. Mm-hmm. I've got three little kids. So a lot of
I was going to ask, instead of running for governor, why don't you run from? But go ahead. I'm sorry. I don't mean to interrupt.
Yeah. I'll tell you, you know, a lot of people that I know, they're like, well, you know, I'm going to just buy a house out in the woods and have a gun and, you know, they can get me there. But the thing is, I feel like we really need to take, you know, the fight to where it's happening. In LA, we have the vaccine passport that's mm-hmm. starting to get rolled out. New York just accepted it without any fight, which is insane. And here in West Hollywood, which is, you know, primarily a gay male community, that just recently went through discrimination, segregation. They just, without batting an eyelash, they're enforcing a vaccine passport in West Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, God, they were just, you know, you would think that that would be a group that would be defending, you know, a group like an unvaccinated group and not discriminate against them. But
it is ironic that an oppressed group doesn't recognize oppression. It is ironic.
Yeah. And you feel, I feel like this is the most recent group at that table, you know, that just had to deal with this.
I get you, man. So, I mean, what's your belief system? Can you sum it up in like one sentence?
Yeah, I'm 1,000% against every single one of these mandates. You know, they told us 14 days to flatten the curve, and now we're at 18 months,
mm-hmm.
and they keep tightening the screws. And Biden yesterday saying his patience is wearing thin. Who the hell is this guy?
What are you
like,
for?
Seriously.
I mean, I get that you're against all this bad stuff, but what are you for?
I'm for freedom, man.
Okay.
Just plain and simple.
What are you going to do when you lose the election?
I'm going to keep running. Yeah, there's three things.
That's sad, man. That's so sad.
Could I make a suggestion?
Get
yourself
sure.
around some other people that believe the way you do. Some people that will be a community that will lift you up and help you.
Yeah.
So that we can do something else.
And a lot of those people are leaving California. Now, some of them, you know, if they're right wingers, they're probably going to places like Texas. If you, however, believe in freedom, if you actually are a liberty minded person, I highly recommend you check out 101reasonsfilm.com. Go watch. It's an hour long. It's not going to take a lot of your time. The 101 Reasons Liberty Lives in New Hampshire. That's where people are coming from. Peakless, you came from Colorado.
Oh, yeah.
Captain, you came from Seattle, Washington. I came from Florida. There's people coming out here from California, from all parts of the planet that actually love liberty and are actually winning political election and are actually in the state house. And there's like a vaccine mandate ban here in New Hampshire. We'll see you tomorrow. FreeTalkLive.com.
After a devastating war, the alien visitors were driven back, and their willing human collaborators were left behind to face the music. When Imogene Anderson's ex-lover springs her from prison, Nathan Foster and his 14-year-old nephew, Ben, are tasked with bringing the pair to justice. An easy enough job until they discover something is inside Imogene, and the fate of the planet hangs in the balance. The Family Business by Mike Coopery from BaneBooks.com.